going to give you the background now. I want you to have the entire background of this case, all right? It is West Virginia versus the EPA. And like I said, this case has the possibility of turning the entire nation on its head. You see, the case began when the state of West Virginia challenged the Environmental Protection Agency and how it regulates so-called greenhouse gases emitted from both coal-fired and natural gas-fired power plants in that state. That in and of itself is important in pushing back against government overreach and the incredible power that has been collected by unelected officials in all of these government agencies, and to set the guidelines for what's really practical for the emissions from these power plants. This has been going on, by the way, this regulation nation, since FDR unleashed the regulatory state on America when he launched the New Deal back in the 1930s. More and more through the years, it has developed, become more robust. The United States government has handed off more and more power. That's Congress has handed off more and more power to agencies like the EPA. But that really is just the beginning. The reason is the idea called the Chevron Doctrine, which has evolved over the past 85 years into a monster. The Chevron Doctrine basically says if a statute is silent on a point, if Congress puts forth a law, a statute, but it's silent on an important point that comes up, then the courts should defer to an executive agency's interpretation, as long as the interpretation is, quote, reasonable, whatever that means. What it means in practical application is regulation without representation. That's what it is. Regulation without representation. Sound familiar? Sounds like taxation without representation, doesn't it? But in this case, it's regulation because these rules, which really are laws, are put into place with the power to take your property, your money, and more importantly, your freedom. They can put you in jail because these agencies can have you convicted of violating the rules created without any input from elected representatives, have you tossed in jail, often with very little recourse to fight back. I mean, how do you fight the EPA? Well, you violated the Clean Water Act. Did I? I don't believe I did. Well, we say you did. The COVID-19 pandemic tore the curtain back, laid bare all of this. When OSHA tried to make vaccines mandatory for companies with 100 employees or more. One example. But the Supreme Court said OSHA did not have such broad authority. Struck them down. Which brings us to what could really happen today. The court has shown clearly that it is more than willing to go beyond any given case to address the fundamental problems at the base. Again, that's why Roe v. Wade got tossed. The court is now poised to adopt the non-delegation doctrine. The non-delegation doctrine. Liberals call this the most dangerous possible consideration. It would devastate the regulatory agencies that have dominated America's landscape since the 1930s. This goes again to Franklin Roosevelt's New Deal. The Congress could pass laws that delegate its power to administrative agencies with massive power to address public health or safety or welfare, the workplace, and well, just about anything else you can think of. But the non-delegation doctrine argues that it is not constitutional to do exactly that. It's not how our representative republic is supposed to work, and I agree with that, by the way. And the pending ruling could upend the entire regulation framework built by both parties over the past several decades. In fact, if the court adopts the non-delegation doctrine, which I believe it will, it will fundamentally alter the structure of the United States government as you have always known it. And here's something strange. It will return that power to Congress, where it belongs. It will impact agriculture, the use of pesticides, water quality, workplace safety, environmental protections, working conditions, overtime pay, and yes, vaccinations. In fact, it will impact just about every citizen in the country and return us to the principles as laid out by the founders of this great nation. If you thought the Democrats have been screaming so far, you ain't seen nothing yet. The biggest problem they face is they will finally realize they have lost the Supreme Court completely and their ability to force policies onto the nation that otherwise would never get through Congress or the state legislatures. You see, killing the regulatory state will kill their unchecked power. I mean, how do you think all these people got rich? And that is something they apparently have not been thinking too much about. And when it happens, just remember that means President Trump wins again. And this nation wins again. Now, moving on to some of the comments from the left. Michigan's Attorney General Dana Nessel has the fantasy that two-thirds of Michigan residents will vote for abortion. There's a ballot initiative they're collecting signatures for. It's Fight 15, by the way. A ballot initiative they're collecting signatures for. And she thinks that Michigan residents will vote for abortion through all 9 months of pregnancy. She thinks it's more important than the economy. Strange but true. Here's Dana Nessel. Listen.
Are Democratic voters, along with other voters, more inclined to vote on the economy, inflation, and other kitchen table concerns?
Hard to know. You know, one would hope with the polling that we've seen on the issue of abortion, I mean, you know, at least two out of every three voters in our state, if not more, want to see those protections for abortion rights on the books or in our Constitution. It's really a matter of just ensuring that they get out to vote. If they come out to vote, they will vote in favor of this ballot proposal. There's no question in my mind. It's really a matter of voter turnout. But I think people have to start to appreciate just how high the stakes are right now, and that, you know, failing to come out and vote for pro-choice candidates in the legislature, failing to reelect our governor, and failing to put this ballot proposal onto the books is literally a matter of life or death for women all around the state of Michigan.
It's a matter of life or death for children, too. Those that have been conceived and might be in the second or third trimester. Definitely a matter of life and death. On that, we agree. Madam Attorney General, we agree on that. On everything else, no, not so much. We'll take a quick break here on the Steve Gruber Show and get back to it. Don't go anywhere.